little boy, he came out of his Sunday school class. He and his classmates had been studying Psalm 23, which I think is one of the most beautiful psalms and one of the most beautiful chapters in all the Word of God. And the Sunday school teacher had felt led to get all the students to learn a verse. There were six students to learn a verse out of Psalm 23. And one little boy was having trouble with his line. And we all have trouble sometimes remembering what we'd like to, but when God puts it in our heart, boy, it's there, isn't it? And he was having trouble, and he got up there in front of everybody that night, and he walked out on the stage, and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he paused, and he said, "And that's all I need to know." And I'd say, if you know him, there's peace. Amen. I want to look back at the fruit of the Spirit. We've kind of left that study for a little while, and we'd like to go back to the fruit of the Spirit tonight. Let's start out of Galatians chapter number 5. We only studied love and joy. We didn't get on peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. We didn't study those. So we'll look and study peace tonight for just a little bit, okay? So I'm asking if you'll stand with us tonight as we look together in the God's holy word and read just a little bit. Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Father, we thank you for allowing us to read just a small portion tonight of your word. And pray, God, you'd help make preaching easy. Pray, God, you'd speak through us tonight. God, this people, speak through us to ourselves. Lord, we need it tonight. Pray, God, you just help somebody here that might need to hear from heaven, might have a specific need tonight, God, that they need a specific word spoken to their heart. God, I pray you'd give that. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all you do. Lord, we ask your blessings, God, now would be upon the reading and the study of the Word of God. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Peace. We preached one time on peace and made, I think it was about 3 quick points on peace. And so I want to say something about peace, that it occurs in the Bible over 400 times. The word peace is in the Bible. I began to study this last week about how many different organizations it took to keep peace. And there were more organizations listed than I could even keep track of, trying to keep peace. Millions of people trying to keep peace and they can't. I looked this up, the Personnel Journal. They said in 3,500 years of recorded history that there have only been 286 years of peace. And even during those years, there were wars in some state. And in excess of 8,000 peace treaties were made and broken. 800 peace treaties made and broken in 3,500 years of history. I say to you, we live in a time tonight where folks run around saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Amen. Now, we studied a little bit, we'll try to refresh your memory, about the perception of peace. Remember that there is no peace, the Bible says, to the wicked. There's people running around today saying that they have peace, but a lost man don't have peace. Not real peace. Amen. And then we talked about the Prince of Peace. That's Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. Amen. And He's coming again. And then we talked, number 3, about the price of peace. You know, what did it cost for peace? Well, the Bible says the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. Amen. Our transgressions, our sin was laid upon Him. And the price of our peace was the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. Tonight, then, I want to study on the people of peace. The people of peace. Over here in Romans chapter 5, we will be turning to a few verses. Point number 4, the people of peace. How can you be a person of peace? Well, you're going to have to make peace with God. Amen. In Romans chapter number 5, we realize now that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and that He was buried, and on the third day He was raised again. And the Bible says He was raised for our justification. Yes. And in Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith. In other words, how have you been saved? For we're not, huh? We are saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Before I was saved, I was lost. And I learned I had to get lost before I could get saved. And when I got lost and I found out I was lost, and I wasn't looking to find out, the Holy Ghost revealed to me that I was lost and had never been saved, I was troubled. I was deeply troubled. You probably could have saw the expression on my face. If you'd have hooked me up to the blood pressure monitor, I'm sure it'd have blown a gasket. I'm telling you, I was troubled, shaken, all to pieces. But that night that I knelt at that old-fashioned altar and came down there by faith and called on Jesus, believing in His death, burial, and resurrection by faith, that night He saved me. And when He justified means just as if I never sinned. That's what justified means. Just as if I never sinned. You see, when I asked Him to forgive my sin, He put my sin as far as the east is from the west, and it'll never be brought up against me anymore. Ain't that a blessing? And when I got justified by faith, look, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know what? I went back different than I came down. I came down troubled, and I went home with peace. I came down under conviction, and I went back to my seat with the Holy Spirit. And that night, I'm telling you, when I went home, I wasn't troubled and perplexed anymore about whether I was saved or not. I knew He'd saved me. And the conviction left me. Amen. Isn't that amazing? There was trembling and shaking and worried and concerned and my heart beating out of my chest. But after I knelt down on the altar and called on Him, and after He saved me there, I stood up and conviction had done left me. I'm telling you what, I just about floated back to my seat. Boy, it felt so good. I knew I'd done the right thing, amen. And right then, I became one of God's people, one of God's children, a person of peace, amen. And when you have peace, the Bible says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I got access to the throne of the Most High God. I could go right in there and call on His name. I could approach Him boldly that I might what? I can get the help that I need, obtain mercy, and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen? And that's what I found out I had. And I didn't have that when I was lost. I couldn't just go up and pray about situations in people's lives. Because when I take that iniquity and I regard it in my heart, the Bible says in the Psalms, if I regard iniquity in my heart, He will not hear me. The only prayer I would hear from a lost man is that of, Lord, would You forgive me and save me? A prayer of repentance. Yeah, but preacher, I prayed it and it happened. It must have been the will of God because He didn't hear your prayer, amen? The only prayer heard from you was when you got saved. And after you got saved, after you became one of His children and you became a person of peace, then you got access to the throne. How seldom we use it, but access is available tonight, amen? Now I want to read a little bit more over here in Romans chapter number 8 about peace. Romans chapter 8. I'm telling you what, I got peace with God. I wasn't troubled. I wasn't shaken no more about my salvation. Over here in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 is good, but we'll look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded, that means to be in the flesh, right? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I not only got up as a new creature in Christ, amen, I got up with eternal life, amen, and I got up with peace. You see there, I got a spiritual mind for the first time, and I had eternal life and peace. Didn't think the way I used to think. How about you? Amen. What about Romans chapter 14 while we're here close? Verse number 17. Peace with God. For the kingdom of God, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. I'm telling you what, you know who God's Spirit rests on because there's peace there. Amen? And it'll be acceptable with men, and it is, my friend, it approved to men and acceptable to God. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. I didn't want to be in turmoil and trouble. Now, there's some people, they have to have a stink stirred up all the time. They love some controversy. They love getting some tail going. But a saved man ought not to be that way. If you want to get some tail going, that's to be carnally minded. And that's no good. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And we ought to want to follow peace. And the things, amen, that would be acceptable to our Heavenly Father. Amen. In fact, over there in Isaiah 66, verse number 12, God made a promise there that He would extend to the Gentiles, that's you and me, peace like a river. I mean, we that were lost, we that were aliens, we that were strangers to the covenant of the promise of grace, the promise of hope, He gave us peace like a river. Now, I'm telling you what, that night when He first spoke to me, I didn't have peace. I was troubled. But after I got saved, amen, when I called on Him, peace came, amen. And I've been different, glory to God, ever since. Now, I said something about Isaiah 66. Let's go back and look at Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48. Since that time that God saved me, do you realize that I'm to be obedient? If I've enlisted in the fight and I serve Him, amen, I ought to be obedient and follow Him wholeheartedly. But we don't always. Hello. Amen. We don't always follow Him wholeheartedly. And when we are disobedient, it causes us to get separated from God. It causes me not to have peace anymore. Not of that I've lost salvation. Oh no, He's got it stored in heaven's bank vault. But I've broke fellowship with Him. Understand what I'm talking about. If at home my daddy had a rule, son, don't lie to me. And if I was supposed to wash the dishes, and I didn't wash the dishes, and he saw that I didn't wash the dishes, but on the phone earlier that day, I said I did, that'd be a lie. And when he got home and he saw that, I'd been disobedient and I was caught. You know what he'd do to me? He'd get me by the back of the britches and he'd get better acquainted with me because he'd take his hand and kaswarp. My mama used that word. Kaswarp. Kaswarp. Oh, that's probably not a word. But he would warn me out. He chastised me because I had told him a lie. Now when I did that, was I no longer his son? I still his boy. He could prove it because that's why he's spanking me. And the same thing is true when you're disobedient to God, and when you're disobedient you sin. Does it mean you've lost your salvation? Does it mean He's not your father and you're not his child anymore? It means that you've broke fellowship with Him. In other words, when you break fellowship with God, even though you're a person of peace or a people of peace, if a church or if an individual breaks fellowship with God, there's not peace with God. I mean, I've got peace about my salvation, but there's been times I've had to get on my hands and knees down the old-fashioned altar and confess things to Him. Y'all don't have that trouble, but I do. And I have it every single day. In Isaiah 48, verse number 18. Oh, let's read 17 too. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Uh-oh, this sounds like somebody broke fellowship. Somebody was disobedient. He said, oh, that thou wouldst have hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. We stopped reading right there. You realize that because of disobedience, that peace that was flowing like a river got cut off. Now listen, you'll not live in sin and have peace with God. He won't agree with sin. Never. He'll trouble you and chastise you about it and cause correction to come into your life. And when that time comes and peace is cut off, I want to empty my soul out before the Lord and get right with Him. And when I do, He has been faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness and take that sin and wash it away, amen, and peace comes again. Amen. Aren't you glad for that tonight? The peace of God. Therefore, if you and I tonight as believers, If our life lines up with the Lord Jesus Christ as we should, we are the people of peace. And you know what you ought to be as a people of peace? You ought to be a peacemaker. Too much time people spend trying not to be peacemakers, but they try to keep some stink stirred up. You know what he said? Let me tell you what she said. Now let me tell you what he said. Rather than try to solve problems, you want to try to make them bigger. Now, I think that the people of peace ought to be peacemakers. While we're here in the Old Testament, let's just jump back here to the book of Proverbs, chapter 12. Proverbs, chapter 12, verse number 20. And let me say to you that it is your nature to want to stir up a stink in the flesh. Your nature in the flesh likes sin. It likes dirty laundry. It likes to hear that people have stumbled and there's problems in the church. Hey man, preacher, you're telling it about right. You're telling it right. That's what our flesh likes. But if you're really saved, amen, and you're really the people of peace, you don't want to meddle in that stuff. You want to be a peacemaker. Help to sit down and straighten things out. In Proverbs 12, verse number 20, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. But the counselors of peace is joy. You see the fruit of the Spirit there? Love, joy, and peace? All right there. You love people, you want to counsel with them and straighten things out. When you love people, you want to have see joy in their life, joy in your life, and therefore you want to negotiate peace. But boy, ain't it amazing how you'll lay your head down at night and you'll start imagining evil. Oh, so, amen. Got, I ought to give the altar call right now. Somebody done, I hit a stump. I failed it, you failed it too. Somebody just last night, you laid your head down. Maybe this afternoon, you laid your head down on a pillow somewhere. Somebody hurt your feelings about something. You started imagining what you was going to do to try to strike back or to show yourself above what they said about you. Smile at me. Smile at me. Let's read something else here about Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, about being a peacemaker. In other words, if you're really a child of God, the way we ought to be, we want to be a counselor of peace. We want to be a peacemaker. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 9. To be a peacemaker, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. For someone who wants to be a counselor of peace, and to make peace with folks all the time and be at peace even with your enemy. I mean, the Bible told us that we can have such a testimony that God would cause peace to even come with our enemies. I read that to them over there Wednesday night, the song was over there in the Old Testament when we studied in there in 1 Samuel, and it kind of shocked them. But it's there, amen, in the Proverbs. Now, if you're a peacemaker, you'll be called the children of God. Seems like I've heard somebody say I've been called everything but a child of God. Amen. Amen. We've all been called names. Amen. I wonder when was the last time somebody said to you, boy, I know you're a child of the King. Went up to visit one man. He come out, knocked on the door there trying to tell him about the Lord. He said, you're one of them Jesus lovers. Get out of my face. Well, you could have paid me a higher compliment. Amen. It didn't offend me. It boosted my confidence. Amen. Let's read another one over here in Romans chapter 12 about peace, being a peacemaker. And we'll try to leave this point alone. Romans chapter 12, verse number 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I like that part right there, don't you, where it says, if it be possible. That's your escape clause, right? Well, it just ain't possible to live with them. Ain't we do that, don't we? Oh, thank you, Lord, for that verse. I love that verse because it's not always possible. Have you tried? Huh? A lot of times we just don't try. We don't want to forgive. We don't want to negotiate peace. But if you're really the child of God you claim to be and the one you testify to be, then you ought to be seeking peace. And you ought to be praying for peace. And you ought to be a forgiven person. Amen? The people of peace, having peace with God. I want to think for a minute about the presence of peace. This will be my fifth point. The presence of peace. Now, if you're saved, God, the Holy Ghost, moved inside your life. He has indwelt you. Amen? And God is love, and He is joy, and He is peace. And peace has moved inside your very heart. And that's how you had peace with God, because He moved in there. That made you a peaceful person. Amen? Because in the presence of God, presence of the Lord, we've got peace. Amen? Now, understand what I'm going to tell you. Peace now does not consist in the absence of danger, but peace consists in the presence of God. A lot of times we think we have peace because our circumstances are calm. That don't mean nothing. That don't mean you've got peace because there's not danger or the circumstances are calm. You have peace because the Holy Spirit lives inside. We can have peace in the service tonight because Jesus is on the scene. That's where we have peace. Amen. Look over here in Philippians. You could quote this one to me. But Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you see that right there? There is a difference between having peace with God and having the peace of God. You can have peace with God being a saved man, amen, but not have the peace of God if you're trying to live your life all the time in the flesh. And there's situations we get into. And even though you're a child of God, you get in an uproar and get very bothered about the doctor's report and the situation regarding your workplace. And there's nervousness and excitement and tension and worries. And now you've got peace with God. But have you got the peace of God? That it just don't bother you. And I'm not talking about what you say don't bother you. I mean that there's a peace that passes all understanding. Preacher, can he describe that? I can't. Don't hem me up, Brother Cooper says. I can't. It just passes all understanding. I can't explain it to you. But it's amazing how peace comes when you need it. Amen. If you're living right with God the way you ought to be. So I wrote this down. Peace that Jesus gives is not necessarily the absence of trouble. You realize that? The peace that Jesus gives is not necessarily the absence of trouble. No, but it is rather the confidence that He is present with you in the midst of the trouble. Told y'all one Sunday night a few weeks ago, I believe it was. I was looking online there and seen all these pictures. And one of them was its name there was Peace. And it didn't look like a peaceful situation to me, no. So I clicked on that and I wanted to study about it and I read about it. There was a man who was seeking a perfect picture for peace. And he was going to give some money to whoever could paint the picture with a peaceful scene on it, and the winner would get money. And so, you know, one fella, he painted a brook as it softly ran down the mountainside there and came up to a little pond where the little lambs would come and drink. That certainly looks like peace. And another one where the grain was gently swayed by the breeze, and that looked like peace. And they came down to unveiling the last pictures, and the last one unveiled is the winner. It was a picture of a spindly little old tree come out on a limb that had a bird's nest in it with a mother bird sitting there with her little dibs underneath her wings. And just right across from it was a rocky precipice where the waterfalls were coming over and the wind was blowing, and it looked like it is hitting that tree, causing that tree to move, and that it was even swaying in the breeze, and the limb was moving up and down because of the weight of the water. And In the background, a great storm cloud that a streak of lightning was shooting out of, and it was so vivid that you could almost hear the thunder and the approaching rain, and it was certainly a time of great storm. And the name of his picture was peace, because that mother bird, in the midst of all those circumstances, had her babies under her wings, and they were all right. Glory to God. Because when trouble comes and danger surrounds us, we can have peace with God that we're His child. But you realize in that situation, no matter what the surroundings are indicating to you, you can have the peace of God and just say, thank God anyhow. Bless His name. If He's with me in the midst of this danger, everything's all right. It's under His control and we'll come out all right. That's the peace of God. Amen? I want to read out of Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, a little bit about peace. The peace of God. The peace of God being different than peace with God. Verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul's here praying that God would fill you with joy and peace by the Holy Ghost. Boy, I tell you what, tonight, would to God some of us would get filled up with the Spirit, filled up with joy, and filled up with peace. Well, preacher, you can't be filled with joy and peace at the same time because they're altogether different. Joy may cause excitement. It may cause glee. It may cause me to shout. And peace don't do that. Oh, I'll tell you what. When you get peace with God, amen, and the peace of God, hallelujah, you don't care what nobody thinks about you. It will put a shout in your soul, amen, and another step in your walk, amen, and cause you to high step around the pulpit, amen, when you get the peace of God. Over in Isaiah. Way back over in Isaiah, chapter 26. What's this little verse? Isaiah chapter number 26. Verse number 3. Not just peace with God, but peace of God. You can quote this one to me as well. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You realize in the middle of the storm, we're under his wings. And if our mind is stayed on him, he keeps us in perfect peace. And our mind stayed on him. Why? Because we trust in him. Hallelujah to God for that. Over here again in Isaiah 54, this is something we pray for our families. Amen. Well, I'm glad that I have peace with God. And I'm glad I have the peace of God. But I don't always have that. I'm not always filled with the Holy Ghost, although He's always present. Are y'all getting this back yonder? Huh? Y'all getting this back? It's getting thick now. But I pray that the children, my children, they've been saved, amen, and have peace with God. And I pray for them that they'll have the peace of God. And I hope that they do and that they will and that they have. And then I pray for you all that you'll have peace with God and you're saved tonight. And that you'll experience the peace of God. And it's a real shame if you wait till the storm comes before you experience the peace of God. I mean, it's a good thing, but you can have the peace of God way far yonder before disaster has a strike. Amen. I was reading here in Isaiah 54, verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Boy, I like that, don't you? I like that. I want my children to have peace. No, great peace. Look at verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Boy, now if I know that God supplies all my needs, and I know that God says no weapon formed against thee is going to prosper, I ought to have peace of God. I shouldn't be stirred about anything, because he says all weapons that's formed against thee, no weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Preacher, verse 17 don't have the word peace in it. It may not, but I think it's important, don't you? Boy, it sure helps to know that no weapon formed against thee is going to prosper. I like that tonight. I can tell you about Mark chapter 4, the disciples are in a storm. As running around there, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I mean, these fishermen, very accomplished, been on the high sea before, been in storms before, but this one they couldn't get out of, and they were panic-stricken. And on the back of the boat, one named Jesus, they got him up and said, Master, hey, don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you know we're down here at Bethel struggling? Where you at, Lord? He got up and said, Peace, be still. And the winds and the seas both just laid down. And the disciples shut up and said this, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey him? I tell you who he is. He's the peace speaker. And I'm glad he's on board the boat. Amen. I like the old song that says, hey, sometimes he calms a storm and sometimes he calms me. Amen. What about over here in Acts chapter 12? I like this. Acts chapter 12. I'll strike it. Let's go to John 14. We'll come to Acts 12 as we close. John 14. John 14. I feel led to do it this way. Jesus is speaking here, and he says to them, getting ready to go to the cross there, and you know they're going to be scattered, going every which way. He says, Peace I leave with you. My peace, verse 27, I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Hey, you don't have to be troubled. You don't have to be afraid because he's give peace. Not as the world gives. How does the world give? It gives and takes it away. It gives and then shakes it up. But Jesus don't do that. He said, when I give you peace and they try to shake it up, peace remains. I'm glad for that, ain't you? What about chapter 16, verse 30, verse number 30? 32, Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. You see there's the presence of peace. He is peace. He's peace personified. He's peace walking around. He's the peace speaker. And he said, I'm not alone because the Father's with me. But you boys, all you disciples, when the heat gets on, Peter, you're going to deny me. John, you're going to run off and leave me. All of you is going to forsake me. And I'll be left alone. Just my Father will be around. I mean, here he's talking to them about giving them peace. I'm going to give you peace. They understand it. Two chapters later, he prophesies they're going to be scattered. And they think, oh no, we can handle it. And when they take Jesus out of the garden, when he's betrayed by Judas, and take him out of the garden, they all flee and scurry and go their own ways. That's not peace, y'all. That's trouble, turmoil. That's worry, fret, concern. Why'd they run? He's afraid for their life. Wanted to escape with their life. Amen. Then they saw him on the cross there dying. Peace was dying. They saw him as they took him down there and put him in the tomb. Peace was dead. Peace was over. Nobody spoke like him. Nobody could give peace to someone like him. He went to the family there that was bereaved, and there was no peace with them. He raised up their daughter. Peace come. He went to the blind man. He had no peace. He couldn't see. He healed him, and he had sight. Amen. He had peace. I'm telling you what, I can go over and over and over again where he'd give peace to somebody, amen, and now it looks like peace is in the tomb and peace is over and the devil's having a heyday. Even though Jesus said, hey, I'm going to have peace, I'm going to give you peace. Look in verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He said, I want to give you peace in the middle of tribulation. When you're scattered, I'll give you peace. But they didn't get that. Peace is in the grave. Peace looks like it's over. Then I jump over here to Luke chapter 24, or jump back to Luke chapter 24. On that third day, hallelujah, peace got up. Victory over death. Victory over hell. Victory over the grave. Glory to God. Peace got up. The disciples still troubled. They don't know what they're going to do. I mean, there's rumors that Jesus is alive. Will they come looking for us? Will they try to kill him again? Will they try to kill us? Peter's denied him three times, and now Jesus made a personal appearance to him and cleared things up a little bit. And yet the disciples, late that first Sunday evening, they're in an upper room there with the doors locked behind them, thinking, boys, we got to get a strategy. We got to get together a plan. I'm telling you what, there's no peace in that. Oh no, when you're trying to figure things out for yourself and you're worried and fretting, how are we going to live? How are we going to make it one more day? These Roman guards are coming after me. What are we going to do? Luke 24:36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Glory to God, when it's troubled. After Peter, he walked right in, right through the locked doors and said, peace be unto you. You see this again in John chapter 20. In John chapter number 20, verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. He told them, I was going to give you peace. He said, in tribulation you'll have peace. You can be of good cheer about this. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. He said, look, they crucified me. It's me. I died on that cross. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so will send I you. He sent him in the name of peace, and he sends us in the name of peace. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And peace was spoken right there. Hallelujah. Oh, Peter denied the Lord three times. Can anybody deny that? You know this man? No, I don't know him. Sure you do. No, I don't. Never met this man. You were with this man, Jesus. And he took oaths and began to swear and cuss. Denied that he knew who Jesus was. But I'm going to tell you what, he saw him on the other side of the tomb, amen. He saw Jesus get up over death, hell, and the grave, amen. He saw him. And in Acts chapter 12, as I close, Peter became a great minister of the gospel. Verse 1, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in the prison, delivered him to four quartillions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. They was praying for the man of God. They was praying, probably up all night. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. The angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him. And he wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came under the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all expectation of the people of Jews. And we know furthermore that he went on down there to where they was praying and knocked on the door, and a damsel came out and he said, it's Peter. And she run back in and said, hey, Peter's at the door. And they said, woman, you're crazy. Ain't no way he's out there. He's in jail. But they're praying for him to get out. And boy, that's praying by faith, ain't it? God, get him out of there. God, get him out of there. And he gets him out and knocks her door, and they won't open the door to him. Amen. But I want to say to you in this story, there's peace. Oh, my soul, there's peace. For a man named Peter. A man who had denied him. A man who had rejected him. A man who even cussed about him. A man, my friend, who saw him get up over death, hell, and the grave. Because he was sentenced to die. Next day, he's going to die. Got four quartillions of soldiers around him. They probably cussed him, laughed at him, said, "You're going to die in the morning, son. We're going to chop your head off. It's over for you. There'll be no more preaching. It is over for you. You're done with. You talk about this man named Jesus. We don't know who he is. We don't see him around here nowhere. He can't deliver you. It's over for you. You're going to die in the morning." I mean, somebody come to you and told you that something was wrong with your body, you'd be up all night worried about it. I told Peter he's going to die. My Bible said he's asleep. Look it up. Got all these death threats, people getting ready to kill him. My Bible says he's asleep. Huh? Look with me. Verse number 6. The same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. Tell me how many of you going to sleep with two soldiers right beside you there, chained up to them, and you're going to die in the morning. You may say, "Well, I'm a pretty sound sleeper." You telling a lie. You telling a lie. Ain't no way you'd sleep in that circumstance. You'd be up begging, pleading, praying, getting down, fretting. "Oh, God, please." Somehow he went to sleep. You know how? He had the peace with God, and he had the peace of God. He said, "God's allowed me to get in this, and God's big enough to get me out. And if he wants me out, amen, it'll be all right. And if he don't, I'm going to see him again in the morning." That's the peace of God. I wrote this one down here about 1555. There's a man getting ready to be burned at the stake because of his witness for Christ. His name was Nicholas Ridley. His brother, upon hearing that he was getting ready to be sentenced to death, he came in and asked that if he could stay with his brother, set up with him all night in the prison chamber there. And his brother said, "No, don't want you to come. Said my last goodbyes to you. And said, listen, all I want to do tonight is I just want to go to bed and sleep just as quietly as I ever have before." His brother said, "How in the world can you sleep on a night like this?" He said, "Because I have the peace of God that I'm going to see him in the morning." Ain't you glad for peace, y'all? I mean, a peace that passes all understanding. We ought to be a people of peace. I ought to be friendly and loving, amen? And we ought to, tonight, we ought to have peace because we're in the presence of the Almighty. There is a peace that passes all understanding. You stand with me tonight. We'll dismiss in prayer. Be somebody.